That song, The Old Rugged Cross, is one of my favorite songs of all time. But I'm going to prove to you that Peter didn't like the cross. I'm going to prove to you that Peter didn't understand the cross, nor did he like it. And you don't understand the cross until you get to the Apostle Paul. Peter didn't have a clue. And most people think he did. And that's why they believe in one gospel. Well, there's nothing but hooky about that. Because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus Christ, tried to tell them about the death, burial, and resurrection. I want you to go to Matthew 16 and read your Bible and believe your Bible. That's what I want you to do. I don't want you to believe me. I don't want you to believe some stupid preacher, but I want you to believe a King James Bible. I do believe that's important. Amen? Amen. And whether you agree with me or disagree with me, just believe the words. Because you know what? The reality is, I'm going to show you something that isn't being taught in any churches, I think is probably the most important thing that you can get. Now, turn to Matthew 16. And I want to start in verse 16. Matthew 16, verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And of course, he asked, But whom say ye that I am? In verse 15. And Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, On a blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto thee that that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. He didn't say I'll build it upon Peter. It was the testimony that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give these the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, such as Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he is Jesus the Christ. What did he just say? I don't want you to tell anybody I'm Jesus the Christ. You need to underline that in your Bible if it's not underlined. You understand? He was telling people, hey, don't tell people that I'm the Christ. Now, I never heard that my whole life growing up in Sunday school. Did you all? Now, look. From this time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. And Peter took him and said, Hallelujah, Jesus, you're going to die for us. No, that's not what happened. He didn't cling to the old rugged cross. He didn't find the rugged cross a great thing. He said, hey, Peter took him and began to rebuke him and say, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not happen unto thee. He wasn't excited about the cross. I'm excited about the cross. Peter was not excited about the cross. Peter didn't understand the cross. Peter didn't understand the burial and the resurrection. So how do I know that? Go to Luke 24. Fascinating stuff. Fascinating stuff. By the way, we got a text message on the singers. He said that the text message said, That's what I'm talking about. Beautiful. That was Bill West. Also want to give a shout out to people watching in Phoenix, Arizona, Joe Glenn Jr. and his wife, Christy, and also Todd and Donna Newman and their family watching. I hope you enjoyed the beautiful singing, and hope you'll open your Bible and enjoy the Word of God and as we feast out of the oven of God on this bread. In Luke 24, I'm just going to cut into the context, verse 13. And behold, the two of them were in the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And as they walked, as they talked together of all these things which had happened, that it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Now listen, if they had fully understand the cross, do you think they'd have been sad?
No.
No way. No way would they have been sad.
Yes. It's God. No.
Anyway, as we talk about it, why would they be walking around sad with their head down, kicking the dirt when Jesus came to them? If they understood the cross, don't you think there'd be like, hallelujah, praise the Lord? Jeff, what are you, now you've moved from the A to the D spot. You all understand? What would be the point of being sad if they understood the cross? Say hello to everybody.
Hello.
All right, give that to him. Testing. 1, 2. You got me? I got you too, brother. All right. So I'm telling you that they didn't understand the cross. And not only that, the gospel they preached, remember the gospel that Peter preached was the gospel of the circumcision? Well, some people asked Jesus what to do to have eternal life. Look what Jesus said, Matthew 19. Go to Matthew 19. They didn't understand the cross. Not only that, look at what Jesus himself told some people to have eternal life. Now, you know, I'm going to get down to the gospel here in just a second. Matthew 19, and read with me, if you will, in verse 16. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? That's an excellent question. Amen?
Amen.
You know what he didn't say? Jesus didn't say, hey, believe that I died for your sins. Jesus didn't say, I was going to the cross for your sins. That's not what he told the man at all. You know what he told the man? He said, I'm in the wrong verse here. 17, and he said unto him, why callest me thou good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, everybody, keep the commandments. Now, if that was true today, every one of you would end up in hell. If you had to keep the commandments. How many here, raise your hand, I want on a show, been on vacation, and they didn't go to church. You missed a Sabbath day. You know what one of the commandments are? Keep the Sabbath. Doesn't matter where you are. You keep the Sabbath. And it wasn't just go to church for 2 hours. It was all day, 24 hours, was keeping the Sabbath. Well, guess who's broke that commandment? I did. How many here has ever not honored their father and mother? And I won't ask Chris to stand up and testify to this. But I imagine he probably broke that one too. Amen, brother? I'm guilty of that one too. And I have been known to tell a little white lie every now and then, especially when they call and say, is the bill in the mail? And I'm going, yes, it is. I know I don't mean harm by it, but I'm guilty. But you know what James 2 verse 10 says? If you keep the whole law, yet you're guilty of one, you're guilty of it all. And guess what? That's pretty tough. So, but Jesus Christ said, if thou wilt enter in life, keep the commandments. Well, I'm trying to find another way, amen? Because if that's the way, practice a
whoa.
I mean, you're in trouble. Right? So he said, which ones? And he said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, and on, honor thy father and thy mother. And the young man, verse 20, says unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. So there's three things he told him to do for eternal life. I'm going to write them down. Keep the commandments, right? Sell out. And come follow me. Isn't that what he said? Three things. That's what he said, to have eternal life. You see, Israel was being prepared to go in this kingdom. That's what they'd been promised the whole time. That was the Davianic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. All of those covenants were given to Israel to get into that kingdom. And to do that, they had to do what? Keep the commandments, sell out, and come and follow me. So why all of a sudden the Apostle Paul? Okay? Go to Galatians chapter 1, and this is why, and this is the most important thing that I can teach you today. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Now watch this carefully. Galatians chapter 1, I want you to read with me in verse 11. Galatians 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that's like I guarantee you. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Did Paul get it from the 12?
No,
Paul didn't get it from the 12. Why? He said the gospel which I preached was not after man. Verse 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Y'all with me? Well, I know when that revelation happened. Why do I know Acts 9? Acts 8, he's wreaking havoc. It couldn't have been for Acts chapter 8. Amen? He's out wreaking havoc to the church. Just leave that alone. It'll be fine. Just leave it alone. We just don't need it back up here because it doesn't write. It gets confused. They keep putting them back when they're bad. Now listen to me. Everybody pay attention. The 12 didn't teach Paul. He said, neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen? I can mark that on the... that's a timeline. I can mark it. There's no doubt it isn't that Jan's going to get a different one and Kay's going to get a different one. And Gail's going to get it. No way. It's going to be the same place in Revelation. Now, why would God choose the 13th apostle? Well, watch this. Go to Romans 16. Go to Romans 16. I'm going to show you something that you have never seen before that will bless your life in so many ways. You'll be singing hallelujah choruses as you leave. Peg, you better help me out with those hallelujah choruses. Weren't they good? Man, if I had a voice like that, I'd quit preaching and go professional. I bet singing would pay better than preaching. I don't know that for a fact, but I can tell you that this preaching ain't paid too much lately. If you feel the urge to give, though, there's a plate in the back. stuff as much money in there as you can. But walk away laughing. Because God loves a cheerful giver. No, I'm just kidding.
And there's a dumbass.
Isn't it nice not to have a plate passed under your nose?
Amen.
Don't you hate that? Like you got to beg for money? Like God doesn't know that we have needs. Okay, pass the plate. You know what Matthew 5 says? Don't do your alms before men. Why do they pass the plate before men? It's tradition. Just a bunch of... I don't believe in passing the plate. I haven't passed it for 22 years. Probably won't ever pass it. All right. Romans 16. Are you all there? Man, you guys are fast. I was waiting for you to get there. Verse 25. Now, this is so important. All right, I'm going to rate this from 1 to 10. It's an 11. Big deal. Get this one. If you miss this one, you have missed it all. Now, to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel. Whose gospel?
Paul's
gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the what?
Mystery.
Now, what's a mystery?
Unknown.
Something unknown. It's a secret. Which was kept secret since the world began. All right, hold on. If this is where it's revealed, that's what he said, right? And I go all the way back, and it was kept secret since the world began. Here's the beginning of the world, right here. And it's not revealed until here. Gail, I need your help, okay? Could they have taught it in the Old Testament if it had been kept secret? Gail, yes or no?
No.
No? All right. William, if it was kept secret since the world began and was revealed here, was it taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
No.
No way. Carlton, if it was kept secret in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, could it have been revealed?
No.
No. Why? This gospel had been kept secret how long?
Since the world began.
All right, so we need to find out about what God's keeping secret. Amen?
Amen?
Right? Isn't that what we would want to do? Go to 1 Corinthians. Hold on to here. We're going to turn back. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Should be a page or so in your Bible. I guess I should have taken notes this morning. Amen? Oh, yeah, I didn't buy one of them sermonettes that most of them preachers are buying. I used to sit down at the Bible bookstore and watch those preachers come in and buy those Bible sermonettes, 3 points in a poem, and wonder why they were all saying the same thing. It wasn't the Spirit of God. It was the same book. This didn't come out of a sermonette, boys and girls. This came out of a King James Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a
mystery.
Romans 16:25. You need to write in your Bible right there. It was kept secret how long?
Since the world began.
That's the same mystery. That's what we're talking about. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Well, that's the same one. Which none of the princes of this world knew, that's Satan and his angels. For had they known it, the what? The mystery, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Hold it. Whatever Paul got here, had they known it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John or the Old Testament, had they known it, they would not have what?
Crucified the Lord of glory.
I want to know what that is. Amen? Whatever he had, that was a secret. That was a mystery. Had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So what is it that they knew? Well, let me show you. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Had they known it, the Bible said they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Amen? That's what it said. We're going to believe this Bible this morning. Amen? Amen. Come hell or high water, we're not going to let religion pull us away from it. We're going to believe a King James Bible the way it's written, the way it said it, for Christ's sake. Amen? Amen. I'm going to chunk, as Paul said, all my religious stuff and count it but dung. Amen? I'm going to chunk it all. Because you know what? Religion isn't going to get you there, boys and girls. Whatever's hid here is pretty doggone important. Verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein stand, by which also you are, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all, when did he receive it? Everybody, when did he receive it? How long had it been kept secret? You got it? Is it hard? Very important. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, Acts chapter 9, how that Christ died for our sins. All right, so out here, there's a guy named Barry Hampton. Barry Hampton is a jerk. He's rotten. He's no good. There's nothing good about him. You couldn't find any good. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Especially Barry Hampton. The Bible says there's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Especially Barry Hampton. You all getting the picture? The Bible says there's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good. There's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There isn't a good person among you. I don't care what your grandmother and your great-grandmother said about you. She would lie to you. But I will not lie to you. You are not worth the gunpowder to blow you into hell. There's nothing good about you. You wake up and you've cussed God and you've done your own thing and you've done adultery and murder and all the things you're guilty of before a holy and a righteous God. There ain't none good. That's Barry Hampton. Amen? Say amen.
Amen.
I want everybody. Amen.
Amen.
Especially Barry Hampton. And so Barry Hampton is a sinner. He was born into sin. He had committed sins, willfully committed sins. You know, there wasn't a single sin that you ever committed that wasn't willful. Not one. And the Bible said that Christ died for my sins. Well, how many sins do I have now? Why? Because I repented? Because I joined the church? Because I came and slung some snot at an old-fashioned altar? No, I have no sin because of the grace of God and the great mercy that God had upon us in offering Jesus Christ for my sins. He took my sins and placed it on His lovely Son who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him.
Amen.
But had they known this back here, the Bible said they would not have what?
Crucified the Lord of glory.
Why? Well, can you imagine Peter? Jesus goes, well, I'm going to die for your sins, Peter. Now, I don't want you to tell anybody because if it gets out, Satan won't crucify me. Not a problem, Jesus. Beep, 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 beep. Yeah. Bartholomew? Yeah. This is Peter. You won't believe what Jesus just told me. Now, I'm not supposed to tell anybody, so you just keep it hush hush. Okay? No, I'm not kidding. You can't tell Mark. Just between me and you. All right, see you later. Beep, 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 beep. Andrew? You will not believe what Jesus just told me. Now, this is just between me and you. And they'd have got it out. And they'd have found out that when he went to that cross, he was dying for your sins. And had Satan known that, he'd have jumped on the cross and given Jesus Christ CPR. He'd have kept him alive if he'd have known that he was dying for Peggy's sin or Wayne's sins or Norm's sins. He'd have jumped up on that cross and kept breathing life into that Lord Jesus Christ so he wouldn't die. But God knew better and kept it a secret. Kept the gospel of the grace of God secret. How long? Since the world began. Why? For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And so God kept the gospel of the grace of God secret until he revealed it to Paul the apostle. If you do not rightly divide, you're going to try to get the gospel out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the only gospel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the gospel of the kingdom, which wouldn't help you in the least. It's to Israel. A promise of land and kingdoms. But God kept a secret. You know what that secret was? He was going to die for all of your sins. But he couldn't let it out. He couldn't teach it in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Say, well, there's only one gospel. Then you've been duped. You've been blinded. Say, well, I got saved out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No, you didn't. Say, John 3:16. Well, you ought to read John 4:22. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his... How many thought that was the gospel? That ain't even the gospel. For had they known it... Had they known the gospel back here...
They would not.
John 3:16 in the gospel. In fact, John 4:22 says, for we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew. That's what John 4:22 says. God kept it a secret. And you know how many people know about that secret? There are churches filled with people that have gone their entire life that never heard the mystery of the gospel of the grace of God. How many here is the first time they ever heard God kept something a secret? Raise your hand. Amen. How can you believe in something you've never heard? Any more than you can go back to a place you've never been. God knew that the only way he could save this world was to keep it a secret and save the Apostle Paul. That's why he's the number 13th apostle. 13 is the number of rebellion. Not the number of Israel. It's amazing, isn't it? Go to Colossians chapter 2. Guys, listen, let me tell you what. People don't preach anymore today. They're all into music and singing. I love music. Amen?
Amen.
But you know, we need a little bit of preaching too. Amen? We need to open the book and crack it open and get to knowing some things. Because I sat in church for year after year after year and I didn't know a thing. Didn't know how many baptisms there were. Didn't know who my apostle was. Didn't know the truth of the gospel until I was 24. And bless God, my wife took me to hear Brother E.C. Moore. And he started to reveal this mystery unto me. And I'm like, this makes sense. I wondered why there was so much hypocrisy in religion, don't you? Bunch of fakers. I was one of them. Faking it out. Oh, I used to sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And you know what? I was so far from knowing him. I sang that song and felt it, but I was lost as a ball in high weeds. It wasn't until the 24th of August, 1983, that I trusted my Savior for my salvation. What did I trust him for? that he died for all of my sins. How many sins?
All.
Man, I had some zinger ones. I thank God for it. Colossians chapter 2, watch this. Verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, that means made alive together with him, having forgiven you what?
All.
Already forgiven?
All.
Already done. Well, I want you to grab that and grab 1 John 1:9, because I went to churches that taught me I had to do 1 John 1:9. Now, you can't do 1 John 1:9 at the same time you're doing Colossians chapter 2. Try it. Grab both passages, Colossians chapter 2 and 1 John 1:9. Watch this. First John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, what happens if we don't confess? You're not cleansed by that passage. Amen? Well, look in Colossians chapter 2 again. Watch it again. Watch the worded, the verbiage, the wording. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Has he already forgiven you?
Yes.
Well, which one is it? Hath already forgiven you, or if you confess, he'll forgive you? Because one says, if you confess, he'll forgive you. The other one says, you've been forgiven. Well, which truth is truth? Colossians chapter 2 for you. Why? It's your apostle Paul. And this was part of the mystery which was since the world began. You all with me? Are you getting this? I want you to get it.
Which makes it's a constant thing.
It's a constant. Thank you. That's our English teacher over there. It's a constant deal. It's like it's done and will always be done. Now, that's important. You all understand how important that is? It doesn't matter. It's already been placed upon the cross. You can't lose your salvation. Why? How many sins did he die for?
All.
Did he know all of them?
Yes.
He became sin. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Watch this. Is this good stuff or what? I mean, this is good Bible study here. You don't get this at the average church. We do charge a little extra, but it's darn well worth it. I'm telling you guys, you know what? Listen, let me tell you what. What I'm telling you, 99.9% of the churches in America don't even get. If you went up and asked most preachers, what's the mystery? They wouldn't have a clue. And why did it only get revealed to the Apostle Paul? You know, it was to the church, the body of Christ, which is what Romans through Philemon is all about. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for he, that is Almighty God. You need to put that in your Bible, that he is Almighty God. Had made him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hold on. My whole life I've committed sins. Amen? I have stolen, cheated, and I have lied. But the good news is that Christ, God made his son to be sins for me. So how many sins did he take? You mean the whore? Her sins are paid for too?
Amen.
How about the homosexual? Is his sin paid for?
Amen.
All right, I'm going to get really tough on you. How about the pedophile? Anybody murder? That sin's been paid for. When was it paid for?
2,000 years ago.
God made his son to be sin for us. Who did that? God. God had mercy upon you. How? He took everything that you had that was against you and he put it on his son, Jesus Christ. All of it.
Amen.
All of it.
Amen.
God made His Son to be sin for you. The whore that walks back in those apartments, sin's paid for. You know what? She doesn't know it. I'd love to tell her that her sins have been paid for, wouldn't you? Homosexual guy fighting his homosexuality, struggling with it down inside. Man doesn't know that God's forgiven him. Amen? Wouldn't that be great news? I got good news. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Doesn't matter how bad you are. Doesn't matter what you've lied about. Doesn't matter what you've said in cuss words. Jesus Christ was made to be sin for you. And you know what? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You're looking at a person now that has the righteousness of God. Me and God are equal righteousness. Why? Because I've said some sinner's prayer?
No.
Because I walked the aisle for Jesus?
No.
No, because God made His Son to be sin for us. It's really that simple. So well, what do I have to do to get saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe what? That He died for all of my sins. See, I believed in Jesus Christ my whole life. I think Bronx has too. And a good illustration of it is there's this wheelbarrow and this guy pulls a tightrope across the Grand Canyon and he's out there and he gets about a third of the way and the people are just cheering him on. He says, how many of you believe that I can do this? He backs back up. He said, how many believe you can do this? Well, man, you were a third of the way. I believe you can do it. Well, if you believe it, get in the wheelbarrow. When was there a time when you got in the wheelbarrow? Say, well, I joined the church when I was young. I'm not talking about joining the church. So I remember getting baptized. I'm not talking about when you got baptized. I'm talking when did you get from belief to trusting the Lord? When did you go from outside the wheelbarrow to sitting in the wheelbarrow letting the Lord take you over? When did you trust the Lord? Say, well, I've been a Christian all my life. No, you haven't been a Christian your whole life. There's a day in the history of your life that you either became a Christian or you're still lost, dying and going to hell. It isn't the fact that your sins are paid for. Your sins are paid for. But you have never called upon the name of the Lord to save you. You would never have heard that gospel without the Apostle Paul being revealed the mystery, which was kept secret how long?
Since the world began.
And so I went to church that taught Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the gospel isn't even in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why? It had been kept secret from them. Why? Had they known it, everybody, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. So the word has to be rightly divided. Part of this is a gospel given to who? Israel, to get them into what? And the rest is to everybody else that will trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what, I'm not a very good preacher. I understand that. And I don't know the Greek and Hebrew very well at all. But I believe this King James Bible 100%. And if you walk out of here unevident of that, sit with me. I will prove it to you. But you know what? 99% of the people say they believe the Bible don't believe it at all. Say, well, I believe there's only one gospel. Then you must believe in the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know what it said? If you were to lust after a woman, it would be better to pluck out your eyes. And one member of your body perish, then the whole body be cast into hell. Well, you know I've lusted after women. How many preachers do you think would admit that? How many men would stand up and tell the truth about themselves? Oh, it's one of those sins nobody sees but your own mind. The filth that I can put on in my mind is just absolutely incredible. How about yours? Most preachers think they're a little more highly of themselves than they ought to. But the Bible said there ain't none good. No, not one. That includes this man here. You don't want to be terrible your whole life thinking you were saved because something you did. Well, I walked the aisle for Jesus. Or I said the sinner's prayer when I was 13. Or I got baptized when I was 21. And you cling onto that and find yourself being thrown into the lake of fire because you never trusted the fact that Christ died for all your sins. Wow. Wouldn't that be a bummer? How simple is it? You won't believe how simple it is. But you know what gets in the way? You know what got in my way from getting saved immediately? Pride. It just kept me from standing up and saying, you know, I'm lost. I've been to church my whole life. I thought everybody thought I was saved. But I was lost. And coming to that point and saying, you know what the problem with me is, I'm lost, was the hardest thing. And once you did it, it's like the light comes on. You go, well, that's the dumb. Why did I make that so hard? Why did I make it so hard? Let's go over one quick review. The Bible says that how many is good?
None.
How many are righteous?
None.
How many have sinned?
All.
Problem. All sinners must go where? Into hell. But God had a secret. Couldn't reveal it to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the apostles. Why? For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So they revealed a secret to Paul. He calls it my gospel three times. What is the gospel? That Christ died for your sins. How many sins?
All.
Colossians chapter 2 says all sin. Doesn't matter. How many?
All.
Doesn't matter what you did. All. How many did he pay for?
All.
How many sins do you have?
None.
How about the whore on the thing? How many sins does she have? What's the difference between that whore who may or may not be saved and me?
Belief.
Belief. That's it. That is the only difference. And that's why in Romans chapter 10, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe what? That he died for all of your sins. It is that simple. Do you see why the Apostle Paul was necessary in the Bible?
Amen.
And why he wrote 13 books, half of the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul? And if you don't understand those 13 books, you're missing the entire blessing of your thing. People, I preached a message. There were 400 or 500 people in the audience down in Panama City, and I preached on Philemon. And I took 25 minutes, and there was a preacher's wife for 65 years. She'd been a preacher's wife. 65 years. And she said, for the first time, I saw the grace of God because of the book of Philemon. Guys, listen, this stuff is so important. Not because, hey, listen, I'm not trying to build a church here. You know what? I don't care if there's 2 or 20 or 30 or 50 that come. That isn't mine. I could care less. What I want to do is make sure you can come and hear the gospel of the grace of God pure and clear without a plate passed under your nose every Sunday afternoon. You know how you become a member of this church? Just stand up and give your testimony that you're saved and you're in the same church I'm in. I don't care if you're in St. Louis, Phoenix, Arizona, or Wetumpka. I don't care. We're all in the same church, which is the church, the body of Christ. There is no Grace Bible Church up in glory. There's only believers. You can come here till hell freezes over. Won't get you in. You got to become a believer. So the Word says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. Why? Not all the Bible is written for you or to you. It's written for you to learn. I learn from all of it. But Romans through Philemon is written to you, your Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles. I appreciate your kindness.